sun. Apart from the faint rustle of paper, as Mr. Brown turned the pages of an enormous book, and the click of Mrs. Brown's knitting needles, the only sound came from Mrs. Bird, their housekeeper, as she prepared the tea things. Jonathan and Judy were both much too busy piecing together a huge jigsaw puzzle to utter a word. It was Mr. Brown who first broke the silence. "You know," he began, taking a long draw at his pipe, "it's a funny thing, but I've been through this encyclopedia a dozen times, and there's no mention of a bear like Paddington."
"Ah, and there won't be," exclaimed Mrs. Bird. "Bears like Paddington are very rare, and a good thing too, if you ask me, or it would cost us a small fortune in marmalade."
Mrs. Bird was always going on about Paddington's fondness for marmalade, but it was noticeable she was never without a spare jar in the larder in case of emergency.
"Anyway, Henry," said Mrs. Brown as she put down her knitting, "why do you want to look up Paddington?"
Mr. Brown twirled his moustache thoughtfully. "Oh, no reason in particular," he answered vaguely. "I was interested, that's all." Having a bear in the family was a heavy responsibility, especially a bear like Paddington, and Mr. Brown took the matter very seriously. "The point is," he said, snapping the book shut, "if he's staying with us for good, if—" There was a chorus of alarm from the rest of the family, not to mention Mrs. Bird.
"What on earth do you mean, Henry?" exclaimed Mrs. Brown. "If Paddington is staying with us for good, of course he is."
"As he's staying with us," said Mr. Brown, hastily, "there are one or two things I have in mind. First of all, I've been thinking of decorating the spare room for him." There was general agreement at this. Ever since he had first arrived on the scene, Paddington had occupied the guest room. Being a polite bear, he had never said anything, even when he'd been turned out to make room for visitors, but it had long been thought he should have a room of his own. "The second thing," continued Mr. Brown, "is a photograph. I think it would be nice if we could have a family group taken."
"A photograph?" exclaimed Mrs. Bird. "What a funny thing you should say that."
"Oh," said Mr. Brown, "why is that?" Mrs. Bird busied herself with the teapot.
"You'll see, all in good time," she said, and try as they might, that was all the others could get from her.
Fortunately, she was saved any further questions, for at that moment there came a loud banging noise from the direction of the dining room, and Paddington himself appeared at the French windows. He was struggling with a large cardboard box, across the top of which lay a mysterious-looking metal object with long spikes on one end. But it wasn't so much what he was carrying that caused a gasp of astonishment from the others. It was his general appearance. His fur had an unusually soft, golden look about it, and his ears, or as much of them as they could see poking out from beneath the wide brim of his old hat, were as black and shiny as the tip of his nose. Even his paws and whiskers had to be seen to be believed. Everyone sat up in amazement, and Mrs. Brown dropped several stitches.
"Good heavens!"
spluttered Mr. Brown, nearly spilling his tea over the encyclopedia. "What have you been doing to yourself?"
"I've been having a bath," said Paddington, looking most offended.
"A bath?" repeated Judy, slowly. "Without being asked?"
"Crikey!" said Jonathan. "We'd better put the flags out."
"You are all right?" asked Mr. Brown. "I mean, you're not feeling ill or anything?" Paddington became even more injured at the excitement he had caused. It wasn't as if he never had a wash. In fact, he had one most mornings. It was simply that he had decided views on baths in particular. Having a bath meant getting his fur wet all over, and it took a long time to dry.
"I only